We had this joke. One moment. Testing. Oh, come on.
We had this joke when I was doing mic check that, I don't know, probably like the past four or five times that's happened to me. So here we are. False start. Well, two of the biggest life-changing moments of my life were the birth of my boys. We waited a while for James, but then he came. And when he finally came, it was amazing. Some dads, apparently I found this out, some dads apparently faint in the delivery room. Thankfully, my wife's nursing team was like, yeah, we're just going to have you sit. Like, that's not an option. You're just going to sit. So, I didn't have to worry about it. Now, I would like to think that I wouldn't have passed out, but I'm thankful I was sitting because I would have sat down anyways. Because when James was born, that moment was so beautiful. In the words of a good friend, my flabbers were gassed. Hearing him cry, you better believe I was crying there right along with him. And my wife, oh, she was so strong. It was a life-changing moment. And then when Bear came, I didn't think my heart could get any bigger. And on that day, my heart grew three sizes that day. In the spirit of Christmas and the Grinch, and which is fitting because we just celebrated his birthday yesterday. In 2 days, my whole world changed. My perspectives changed. Life was never going to be the same as it was. And I know that for some of you in this room, you've prayed for that moment, and it hasn't come. Your story carries a different kind of weight, one of disappointment and grief. I see you. And I grieve with you. More importantly, God sees you. Those moments change us too. They rewrite the plans we thought we had. They put us in this time of unplanned transition. They are life-changing in their own ways, often heavier and harder. And we all have our own life-changing moments. Certainly, my life has more than just the birth of my sons. And as I was thinking about all of them, I realized something, that each life-changing moment brought its own season of change, brought its own season of transition. Whether they were good or bad things, they all brought their own joys and challenges and pain with them. Walter Brueggemann talks about this idea that the Psalms and really our lives can be broken up into three seasons or three stages, times of orientation when things are regular and familiar and steady, times of disorientation when the wind gets taken out of us, when the ground shifts from underneath our feet, a diagnosis, a loss, new responsibility, change. And then there are times of reorientation when God brings us out of the chaos and into something new. Our text this morning is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. It's on page 807. Would you turn with me there? We're reading the account of Joseph when he found out about Jesus. And I want to encourage you as we read it to try your best to put yourself in Joseph's shoes, where we don't know the end of the story. Try to place yourself in this perspective of you're betrothed, you're engaged to be married to a wonderful person, you are so excited for the life that is coming, and then something unexpected happens. Let's read, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Which, a quick aside, Jesus, that name means God saves. So God saves is going to save his people from his sins. Just something for you to ponder. We read this account, and I wonder, what do you think Joseph felt in that moment? In those few verses, we read this like life upside down moment, season for Joseph. He was expecting this life change. He was expecting to be married, and then he found out Mary was pregnant. And Joseph knew, well, let's put it this way, he knew that he didn't put an order in for a 9-month delivery window. This disorientation that Joseph would have felt, that's nothing to say of Mary's story, which we'll talk about at another time. Joseph had plans, he had expectations, he had this idea for how life was supposed to be. Then, when he came to believe one thing and came to, okay, this is how I'm going to go around it, this is my plan for moving forward, an angel of the Lord shows up. Which, quick commercial break, Matthew uses that term, angel of the Lord, quite a few times in the first couple chapters of his gospel, and he's doing it in a way that helps his readers pay attention to something. He's emphasizing that this message is coming from God. That it's not, that God is on the move, that something new is happening. So pay attention. Watch what God is going to do. End of commercial. An angel of the Lord shows up in a dream. And gives Joseph a new life-changing moment. God is saying, hey, actually, I'm doing something in Mary. I'm doing something through Mary. And I'm inviting you to be a part of it. Don't be afraid. In a moment, all of Joseph's plans and expectations were gone, and he is now squarely in a time of disorientation. What do we do in those moments? My freshman year of college, I hit what a lot of freshmen hit, the slump. It's the season of where all the newness is catching up to you. You're in a new, you're on your own, you're in a new school, you're in new rhythms, new friends, new relationships, new responsibilities. And right around October-ish, give or take a month, the newness stops being exciting and starts being overwhelming. I remember sitting with my RA and telling him that I didn't feel like I belonged at college, that I wanted to drop out. I life was not right. This isn't how it's supposed to be. I wanted to go on a mission trip. I wanted to get a job. Like, I was literally grasping for anything to get me out of this season of disorientation. And then he asked me a question. Where is God with you in this hard season? That question has become somewhat of an anchor point for me in moments of disorientation. Not questions about how am I going to fix this or how am I going to move forward, but where is God? Let's keep reading in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the answer to my question. Where is God in the hard season? Right there with me. Imagine what Joseph felt waking up from that dream. This is the promise of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. Emmanuel. We don't have a distant God who removes himself from us. We don't have a God who does not know us. We have a God who sees us, who hears our cries, who knows our hearts, and has come down to be with us. Jesus coming to earth in the form of a baby is God with us in the most human way. Jesus is God and human, both. And if he's willing to do that, why wouldn't he be with me in every aspect of my life? This is the message that Joseph gets in his season of disorientation, God with us. When his life is falling apart, when life is not going the way he imagined it or planned or hoped it would, God with us. Today is the Advent week of peace, and I've been wrestling with what peace actually looks like in seasons of life change. And I don't think it's the absence of chaos. I don't think it's when everything works out neatly. I think peace is presence, God's presence. It reminds me of Psalm 46. It's a psalm that paints this picture that the world is falling apart, nations are crumbling, the ground is literally falling away. And in the midst of all that chaos, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I don't think it's a command for us to be quiet. Rather, I think it's this idea, a reminder to just stop and place ourselves in the presence of God. Peace is not contingent upon what is happening around us. It's contingent upon God. And I wonder if Joseph woke up from his dream and thought about this verse. When his life was falling apart, or at least falling apart from his perspective, God was still God. God was with him. And that changes how you approach these seasons of disorientation. It changed how Joseph moved forward. But it doesn't reverse the unexpected. It doesn't fix everything immediately. Joseph is still experiencing disorientation. And in fact, God's message actually would have made things more complicated for Joseph. There are cultural implications of shame and sin wrapped up all in this. For Joseph to say yes to God, for him to do what God is inviting him to do, there is going to be stigma around him and Mary for the rest of his life. Life will never be the same. And yet, we read Joseph's response in verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. The peace of God gave Joseph the courage to move forward in a transformed way. Joseph's buy-in to what God is doing through Mary, he moves to be a part of it. He doesn't run, he doesn't freeze. The peace of God allows him to move into a hard thing. In my own life, I experienced this with my boys. When James was born and again with Bear, I felt overwhelmed. I felt awe. I was completely unprepared. And yet, in the middle of that chaos, in the sleepless nights, in the blowouts, in the screaming and crying, mine, not theirs, I experienced joy and love and peace that I did not understand. I think that's what Joseph experienced. God's presence doesn't remove the hard or the messy, but it changes how we show up, how we endure, how we move through those hard seasons of disorientation. I was talking to a friend, Chad Bigger, who's the camp director of Rock Ridge. We partner with them with one of our youth missions trips, shameless plug. We were talking about the hard seasons of life, and he dropped this quote on me. The peace of God is the Spirit saying, "I have you where I want you right now." And I would add on to that, the peace of God is the Spirit saying, "I have you where I want you right now, and I will be with you in it." That is the peace that Joseph experienced that empowered him to move forward in a different way. The peace of God is not about fixing the disorientation of our lives. We cannot skip through it as much as we want to. One of my favorite bands is Switchfoot, and they have a song called Where the Light Shines Through. And there's a line that really resonates with this for me. Your wounds are where the light shines through. Your wounds are where the light finds you. So let's go there, to that place where we sing these broken prayers, where the light shines through. I love that image, that it's the hard things, the wounds, the messy seasons are not places to avoid. They're exactly where God's presence shows up the most. It's where the light breaks through. In our own seasons of disorientation, whether it's parenthood, loss, life change, new responsibility, those seasons teach us to trust God. They remind us that his peace is not about escaping difficulty, but walking through it with him. It's in the hard, the messy, the broken that we experience God's presence. And it's in his presence that he empowers us to move forward in a different, faith-filled, Holy Spirit-led way. I am thankful, or if I'm being honest, at least I try to be thankful for the hard seasons, the times of disorientation, because that's where I learn how to trust God. It's where I learn to have faith in him. It's where I have to be reliant upon him, desperate for his presence with me. This week, when you hit a hard moment, I encourage you to stop and ask, where is God right now? That is what God's peace is. It isn't about avoiding the hard things. It's not about skipping the disorientation. God's peace is found in his presence with us, right in the middle of the chaos. This is the promise of Jesus, Emmanuel. We don't have to face this life alone. And that's what we remember in communion. We remember the ultimate moment of God with us, Jesus stepping into our world to save his people from their sins. We are reminded that God sees us, that he knows us, and that he has come down to rescue us, to be with us. In a few moments, Eric will come and lead us in communion together. Before we get there, logistically, we ask, if you haven't joined us before, that you come down aisles 2 and 4 and then return to your seats through the middle and the outside aisles. When you come, you can choose to either serve yourself or be served. If you want to be served, come with your hands open, palms up, and we'll take a piece of bread and dip it and give it to you. Otherwise, you can do that yourself. There's 6 stations across the front. Jump into any of them. If one opens up, even if it's in the middle, file in. The bread is all gluten-free, and the cup is grape juice. If you're unable to come forward, simply just raise your hand, and somebody from our usher team will come and serve you where you are. But before we get there, would you pray with me? God, you are the same God that was with Joseph. You are the same God who gave him courage. You're the same God who shines through in our wounds. You're the same God who is present with us, Emmanuel. Would you teach us to find peace in your presence? Would you teach us to become more aware of you? To ask that question, where are you? And when we do, would you show up in a powerful way in our lives? We ask this in the assurance and trust of Jesus. In your name.
strategy for a plan. You think this is exactly how this should work.